Welcome back to Global Community Forum. I'm Scott Gurian. We continue now with an interview I conducted with Amber Amundson as she speaks about American patriotism and dissent.
I'm perpetually agonized that American people do not feel that it's okay to discuss this, to think of alternatives. And a lot of it goes back again to the American dream and what is freedom. And if you're patriotic, you support the military, and really allowing people to feel patriotic, to wear a flag, even if you are not comfortable with the war in Afghanistan, you know, to really realize we are all united, we are American, and part of that for me is being able to openly disagree with what is going on in our diplomatic process, and is it even that process? I'm just amazed that we're moving forward so quickly without discussion. We're just assuming and okaying this without really looking at long-term effects on wars in our history. And I don't want this to be a situation like we've seen in our history where 20 years after a war we're saying, wait a second, maybe it would have been a better idea or safer if we would not have done this, or we could have saved lives had we not done this. I think we should learn from those historical events and evaluate that and discuss that so that we don't put ourselves in a situation where in 10 years we're still seeing attacks and still mourning because we're continually losing people in our community and people in the world. And I think now the United States is finally seeing that the fear we have and the devastation we have, most people in the world have been dealing with for a long time. And we are now part of that. We're not excluded. I mean, I felt completely secure bringing children into this world and creating life with my husband and nurturing that and feeling safe because we were a country not under siege. And I think that has changed completely. We're now part of it. We now understand what it's like to have planes crashing into buildings and fires that last for 3 months and unidentified loved ones and children that are so confused and so scared. We have an understanding of that now, and I think we should look at what we can do to prevent further attacks on the United States and really consider whether or not military action is going to do that. Is it going to, you know, wipe out a certain population and then everything will be okay? Or will, by wiping out that population, are we going to see more hatred and possibly more attacks on the United States? I think these are the questions we really have to discuss and really allow American people and family members to voice their opinion, because they are the ones that are directly involved and they are the ones who feel the effects and will see the long-term effects of the loss. And I think family members have credibility and should be listened to, and no one is really asking or wanting to know what we think. And I think that's awful.
You spoke about your children. How old are Charlotte and Elliot?
Elliot is 5 and Charlotte will be 3 this January.
And how have they reacted to this, and what is their understanding of all of this?
They're sad. I mean, they want their dad back, and they're now living in a world where taking a airplane ride to grandma's house is scary, and they're trying to piece the world together and trying to figure out what the American flag means, because it was part of Craig's military burial, and there was a flag light over his casket. And so for them, they are seeing the images and the flag, and that flag really represents their last physical moment with their father. And Elliot, for example, waves flags in the air and says, "We want Daddy, we want Daddy." And he's really attached to the flag. And that's why the symbol is so important to me, because protesting this war and saying that you don't think it's a good idea does not mean that you don't look to that flag and feel love and feel security. And what the flag has always meant for me and now means for our children is something that's good, something that's their dad. They understand that their dad was a nonviolent person, and I want the flag to represent peace, civil liberties, freedom, all of the things that we've learned about that have gone into the very making of the symbol. And right now, I feel like it's not a representation of that, because we aren't embracing all of those qualities and those values that I feel are what it means to be an American.
You spoke a little while ago about meeting with other family members of other victims. What is that like?
David Pitorti lost his brother in the World Trade Center, and I had an opportunity today to walk with him past Ground Zero. It was the first time he had been there since the September 11th attack. And it was extremely difficult, because I know how that feels to go to a site and know that your loved one is there or was there. And so being with him on that walk past that mass destruction really motivated me again. I walked past and thought, there's no way we can stop speaking out against this. There's absolutely no way. When I looked into his eyes, there was a connection there, because I asked him how he was feeling, and he said, "I think the same way you felt when you saw the Pentagon." And that was really difficult, but after that, as we walked past and we held hands and we gathered our thoughts a little bit and calmed down, we were both ready to speak out. And any encounter with the media was very positive and easy for us to do. And so meeting with the family members adds to the strength that we as the Amundsen family have. And it really, for me, validates how I feel, because I realize that I'm not alone and we're not alone, and that together we can continue to be a voice and can continue to give permission to family members that it's okay, we're doing this, we're speaking out, and we're comforting each other and supporting each other, and together we can make change. We will make this world a better place, and together we can do it. And the more we feel that, and the more we gain from that strength that comes from that union, I think it becomes more powerful.
Since September 11th, with all that's gone on, have you watched television news or just seen all the images and the way things are portrayed?
I have not watched a lot of TV, but I do listen to the radio and, have dialogue with family members. I'm just sickened by the way the media is exploiting my family's grief and my family and other families to make what's going on okay, to make killing okay. And so I choose not to watch it, and I'm very protective about my children and hoping that they're not exposed to those images on TV, because I don't trust them. I don't feel that we are seeing the full picture, that we are really aware of the devastation that is going on. And the reason I feel that way, because I've talked to people who have gone to Afghanistan to provide humanitarian efforts that are telling me things, and then turning on the TV and seeing a completely different image. It's confusing to me, and it makes me distrustful of the media and the possible, you know, the propaganda that is evolving from all of this. And I choose not to do that. I choose to speak directly to people who have experience, and to connect with, you know, people who have been to Afghanistan, leaders who, you know, study long-term effects of war, and experts, and trying to research that and find out what are the long-term effects, and is this going to be that situation?
How do you think that your view of the world, and I guess particularly your thoughts about where to go from here, have changed? What your plans for your life and moving forward?
My plans for my life have changed tremendously since September 11th. And I know that there is nothing I would rather be doing right now than finding ways to honor my husband, make the world a safer place for my children, and then looking outwardly and thinking about the world and the people within that and their safety. So I know that I'm going to continue to move forward, and I'm going to continue to speak out. And I have an incredible family who are really dedicated to being on this journey with me. And together we're going to continue. I don't think we'll be able to stop speaking out until we can see change.
Do you find yourself sort of, I guess, living day by day now, not making, you know, long-term plans, just trying to sort this all through?
Yes, I find myself finding ways in which I can continue to speak out and have a stable family life. And of course, that's a struggle. But I know that with the support of my family, I will find ways to continue to speak out and say that I'm not comfortable with this, and include my children in that so that they can be part of something that we're doing to remember their dad. And hopefully, because we were part of a military community and we have a lot of friends that are in the military, and letting Charlotte and Elliot know that we do not want any more daddies to be gone. And I think that we sometimes dismiss children and think that they're not capable of understanding the concepts of peace and war. And I think when a child can say, "Oh, mommy, is this plane going to crash into a building?" If they can conceptualize that from what they've seen on September 11th, then I think they can conceptualize what it would be like to have peace in our world and to have peace in our country. And you know, asking children, we were able to speak with elementary students at a school and asking them, what are some other solutions? What do you think? It's amazing. I was completely surprised at the level of critical thinking that was coming from a fourth grade child who was able to say, "Wait a minute, mom and dad have taught me that you don't fight to get what you want, so I don't understand why we're fighting. And shouldn't we just communicate with them?" And for them, it seems so obvious. And I really listened to this particular child and looked at her and realized that she's making a lot of sense, and that on some levels it seems very elementary. It seems simple. And like she said, I think communication is key, were her words. And I looked at her and I thought, wow, yeah, you're right.
It's interesting how young people seem to understand these things. I'm thinking back to during the bombing of Kosovo, when Bill Clinton was president, and he visited an inner city school. I think this was after one of the school shootings. And he said to the children that we have to resolve our difficulties with words and not violence. And then, like, that very same evening, he went back to Washington and ordered a new round of bombing in Kosovo. How have other military friends of yours reacted to your position?
My experience with the military community has been a very positive one. Of course, I think, you know, Craig's particular position in personnel command at the Pentagon was very fortunate for him and for his ideas, because he was within a group that were willing to listen to him and really question him and respect him. And even asked him, what can we do to recruit more people like you into the military? And Craig said, you know, you can concentrate more on peacekeeping as part of your advertisements, you know. And so I think within that community, they're not surprised. Craig's colleagues that have survived are not surprised by my actions. And that leads me to believe that they knew Craig really well. Some of them I have not met, and they've said to me, we are absolutely not surprised that you are doing this. And that's such a great comfort, because I know within his working environment, people really did listen to what he had to say. So I'm being supported in that sense. And I do have a lot of friends that are still in the military and that are really scared. I have a girlfriend who's husband is a medic in the military, and he's prepared to leave within an hour. And so that's how they live their life. And she's 25, and they have a daughter. And I talk to her almost every day, and she's absolutely terrified, because she's seen firsthand what terrorism does. And she's been part of my loss and has grieved and has missed Craig terribly, and now is looking at her husband as possibly being the next victim. But again, the military community has been very respectful, and they are certainly, from my understanding, and I can only speak of Craig's colleagues and the officers within his office, who are, like I said, they're not surprised, and it's almost as if they're comforted by my ability to speak out against the military. And it was one young man in his office who survived said to me that losing Craig was probably one of the most difficult things that he's experienced, but Craig's loss was a little bit easier to handle, because he knew that Craig was very content, and he knew that Craig was happy, and he knew that Craig was able to leave his mark in the office and say, I represent, you know, a young soldier, and my representation is one of peace. And he really left that mark. And so his friends that were close to him, that really truly supported him and knew how he felt, feel that he made change within their office. And so it's, for me, I'll continue to be part, I am part of that community, and will continue to be a voice. And I think they'll continue to feel connected to Craig, because our message is so similar that there's a lot of comfort for them to continue to hear the words that Craig was speaking of in his office.
You spoke before about meeting with David Pitordi, whose brother was killed in the World Trade Center. Have you met with other relatives of victims, and have you all sort of gotten together, relatives of victims who are speaking out for peace?
Yes, there has been opportunities to speak to other family members. We will be meeting with a woman who lost her brother in the World Trade Center, and we have had contact with several other family members, and what I'm finding, the more media attention we get, the more contacts we have, the more people that are calling, calling us and emailing us and saying, we want to be part of this. How can we be part of this? How can we help you? And these are people who are grieving. These are people who 2 months ago lost their loved one, and they're ready. They're ready to help us, and they want to, and they need to. And I think that's incredible. And each day it seems like each day I'm meeting like between 3 and 5 family members that agree with me and my family and want to be part of it. And I think it's an incredible way for all of us to heal. And I think we're going to see more of it. I'm hopeful. And I'm so happy that people are starting to feel more comfortable and more able to speak out and talk about their feelings. And it's a vulnerability because it is personal. And it's a public loss. And it's a public issue. But we still, together as families, have that personal connection and that the reality that our loved one truly is gone. And there's a lot of strength in that, that we can come together now and say, what can we do to prevent this in the future? What are some things we can do? And I think the more we are able to meet together, the more family members that come together, the more dialogue we're going to have. And all of us come to this group with professional talents, personal experiences. And I think we're pulling all of those resources together, and it's becoming a really strong group of, like I said, there are, you know, people from all walks of life that are coming together and saying, you know, I lost my family member. This doesn't feel good, and I don't want to go through anything like this again. And I'm noticing that a lot of the family members are saying that they felt a need to make sure it doesn't happen to anyone else anywhere in the world. That seems to be a real common bond, especially with mothers, that the pain of losing your child's father is just so tremendous that you cannot imagine anyone anywhere feeling that way. You cannot wish that on anyone.
Amber Amundson, you lost your husband Craig in the Pentagon on September 11th, and you've just finished a walk from Washington, D.C. to New York, a week-long walk with about 24 other people from around the country and several other relatives of victims of September 11th, calling for peace and a nonviolent solution to what's currently taking place in Afghanistan. Thank you very much.
And with that, we conclude another edition of the Global Community Forum. We'd appreciate listener feedback and suggestions. Drop us a line by writing to Global Community Forum, care of RFPI, Post Office Box 88, Santa Ana, Costa Rica. You could also email your comments to us at info@rfpi.org. That's info@rfpi.org. As usual, this program will be archived on our website. You can listen to it at your leisure by going to www.rfpi.org. Music on today's show is by Jim Page. I'm Scott Gurian. From all of us here at Radio for Peace International, thanks for listening.
You want to talk about the casualties? Well, let's run it up the mast. 6,000 people died in that New York City blast. Like the 6,000 people every month that you kill. Strangling Iraq for a dirty dollar bill. And you want to talk about cruelty? Well, let's get it out. Depleted uranium, now what's that all about? Innocent millions, can you even see their tears? Irradiated homelands for 4 billion years. Talk about the terrorists and what makes them run. You taught them everything they know. You even sold them their guns. Every killer with a grudge is just a tool to be used. Then you throw them out and you forget about them until they make the news. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. An eye for an eye is the justice that you claim. But the numbers that we're talking about are a whole different game. All those millions of people with no place to hide, that ain't justice, that's genocide. I'm gonna have my say, and I'll say it loud and clear. Every crowd on every corner where I can find an ear. And you can try to shut me up, but no matter what you do, I got a right to speak, because I'm American too. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. America, you're scaring me, making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name.